Now today, friends, our study brings us to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, the great event that concerns us, the marriage of the Lamb and the return of Christ in judgment. And we have here in this chapter, first, four hallelujahs. That's verses 1 to 6. Then we have the bride of the Lamb and the marriage supper, verses 7 through 10. Then in the third division, the return of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My, what a thrilling chapter this is. That's verses 11 through 16. And then the battle of Armageddon. I'm going to change that. I have it in my book, Battle, but it should be War of Armageddon, verses 17 and 18. And then hell opened in verses 19 to 21. My friend, there's a whole lot of things in this chapter. Now, we turn the page on that which marks a drastic change in the tone of Revelation. The destruction of Babylon, the capital of the beast's kingdom, marked the end of the great tribulation. The somber now gives way to the song. The transfer is from darkness to light, from the inky blackness of night to white light, from dreary days of judgment to bright days of blessing. This chapter makes a definite bifurcation in the book of Revelation and ushers in the greatest event for this earth, the second coming of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom. And it's the bridge between the great tribulation and the millennial kingdom that he'll establish on the earth. Now, great and significant events are recorded here. And the two central features are the marriage of the Lamb and the return of Christ to the earth. And one follows the other. Now, the hallelujahs open this chapter, and the opening of hell concludes it. Two great suppers are recorded, the marriage supper of the Lamb and the cannibalistic feast of carrion after the last part of the war of Armageddon. Now we come to the four hallelujahs, the first six verses. We're going to sing here now the hallelujah chorus. Well, maybe I better not sing, because if I started singing the hallelujah chorus at this point, you'd think we were in the great tribulation period. So we're not going to be able to sing it till we get to this point, by the way, and then I will be able to sing. Verse 1, after these things I heard, as it were, a great voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power unto the Lord our God. Now, you noticed I read from my translation. After these things, metatauta, again. You see, when we bumped into that expression, actually, John gave the division of the book, the things that shall be after these things. After what things? The church. And it began with chapter 4. It opened with metatauta, and we've been metatautaing ever since. And here, there is a chronological progression. You have here a sequence of events. What takes place after the great tribulation? Well, what's recorded in this chapter? The coming of Christ to the earth. He's the only one that can end it. So it brings us to the end of the great tribulation, and this is the last occurrence. Now, a great multitude, we're told, the voice of a great multitude, and some have been added to what we had back in chapters 5 and 7. Back there we had, you will recall, the elders, the church is there, and uncounted number of angels, created intelligences, and they all worship God. All right, now there have been a great company of tribulation saints added to the chorus, and now they're going to sing. And here is something that is quite marvelous. This is hallelujah. Did you know it's the first time it's occurred in the New Testament? And it occurs four times in these first six verses, and it's the only occurrence in the New Testament. You see, this business of hallelujah is reserved for the final victory. And it's interesting to note that hallelujah occurs frequently in the book of Psalms. And it just simply means praise the Lord. It appears in frequent succession in Psalm 146 to Psalm 150. In fact, Psalm 150 is a mighty crescendo of praise. And I think that's what they're going to be singing. Hallelujah, I think, is a fitting note of praise at this juncture in Revelation. Great tribulation is over. Jesus is coming. The church is to be united to Christ in marriage. Hallelujah, friends. Let's sing it. Handel's Messiah will be sung at this season of the year. And I don't care whose choir sings it. My, they're not even going to touch the rim of the greatness of it in this day. Psalm 104:35 says this, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more." What does that mean? It says, "Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord." That is, hallelujah, because God is coming to judge, and the wicked are going to be removed from this earth. And I'm for that. I hope you are too. Now, in my book on Revelation, on page 67, it says, hallelujah is an expletive of praise as the final phase of salvation is coming to pass. And that is something Paul had talked about, and I think I'll just turn to it. Over in Romans 8, beginning with verse 18, listen to this. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." And friends, this is that great day that's coming. The earth will be released from the bondage of sin. But in the meantime, it groans. You go down to the seashore, anywhere, and listen to the waves break. I slept right by the Atlantic Ocean in Virginia Beach. And every night I was put to sleep by the breaking of those waves on the shore. They're just sobbing out, as it were. There's no high note at all. And then you go up to the mountains out here in California and listen at night to the wind blowing through the pine trees. There's not a soprano in all those pine trees, and there's not a redwood tree that can sing soprano. It's all subdued. It's groaning. All of it's groaning, waiting for this day that's coming someday upon the earth. And we groan. I don't know about you. When I first built my home up here in Altadena, I was a young man, and I could come bounding down the stairs. When I come down now at every step, I groan. My wife says you ought not to groan. I tell her it's scriptural to groan. We groan within these bodies, the scripture says. And I'm for groaning while we're here. But one day, friends, it's going to be hallelujah and not groaning. And that's what he's talking about in this passage of scripture here.